in the evening time, any questions which you have, you can put in the basket. And if they're easy ones, I'll answer them. If they're difficult, I will throw them away. Ah, here you go. Ajahn, I am 45 and I've just been diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, MS. Should I give in to my body's tiredness and rest or continue to do the things that distract me from my tiredness? If I give in to the tiredness, I am scared I will not be able to control the consequences of depression. I'm scared of depression. By distracting myself continually from the tiredness, I feel I'm avoiding reality. Many thanks. Scared and desperate. You don't need to be scared or desperate. Yet sometimes you feel a little bit tired, so you rest. So basically, you have to ask your body and mind what it needs and be incredibly mindful and aware of your bodily condition. There are days when you've got lots of energy, then do things. There are days when you'd have little energy, don't do things. So number one, look after the body by resting it and not working it too hard. You realize you're not in control of the body. No one ever is in control of the body. But what we can do, we can have more control in one sense of the mind, the attitude you have towards these things. And the attitude you have towards the sicknesses is well described by the Buddha's advice to Nalakapita, was even if your body is sick, the mind does not need to be sick. So now, the bodily sickness is one thing, and one's attitude towards it is totally different. And you can't do much about the body, but you can certainly do a lot about your attitude, the mental world. Which means if you need to rest, you have to rest. I remember even Ajahn Chah, we asked him once this question, what would happen if an enlightened being got bitten by a rabid dog? Because in Thailand, in that time, 35 years ago, there were many rabid dogs. And there was no medicine for it. So, you know what they used to do in those days? If you got bitten by a rabid dog, they'd just tie you to a tree. And you screamed yourself to death. It wasn't very nice, but that's basically the medicine. So what would happen to an arahant, enlightened being, if they got bitten by a dog? By a rabid dog. You know what Ajahn Chah said? They just tie him to a tree and he just kept screaming. Because that's his body. But the mind would be perfectly at peace. A very interesting answer from the great monk. So basically, that's the body doing its reaction. Even if you kick an enlightened being, he'd still go ow, or she'll go ow. They won't say, oh, this is a kick. It is just the impingement on my fifth sense base. No, these are just automatic reactions which we have. So the kicker, you go out. So understanding the nature of these things. We've got MS. Yes, it's going to be tired. It's going to be not so good physically. But your mind can always be free. So depression is your choice. Now the MS is not. It's there. But what you can do with the right attitude, as far as I understand the nature of the mind, you can keep going with that MS. And if you have a positive mind, it's amazing just how long you can live healthily and well by changing the attitude. There's this that guy who's over at Bodhinyana Monastery at the moment. What's his name again? The guy, John. Yeah, he's got no pancreas. What else has he not got? Yeah, some of the lungs are missing. He's supposed to have been dead years ago. But he's been going for about 10, 20, 12 years or something. Diabetes, yeah. He's got this amazing attitude. Usually, if you've got pancreatic cancer and they get your pancreas out, you're dead. But this guy keeps on going. I've been overseas and I just met him just briefly. And he's got a very wonderful attitude. And that attitude is keeping him alive. And this is saying, we have MS. Please really get your attitude. So when you have MS, sadhu, 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 I've got MS. Change the attitude, be positive, then you never get depressed. And usually the illness, whatever it is, doesn't affect you that much. So it's great what you're doing here. Learn some meditation, positive attitude. Because over here we're learning how to understand our mental world and how to deal with it. And don't get so fault-finding. I already told you this morning. If someone comes to me and says they've got MS, what do I say? Very good. Some would say, look, I'm terminally ill. What do I say? Very good. Someone say, I've got Ebola virus, and I've just touched you, Ajahn Brahm, and you're going to be infected. I will say, very good. Because the attitude towards these, you're going to die anyway, so you might as well get over and done with. Quicker the better, so that's what I say. So whoever's got MS, look, the attitude, and hopefully that's what you can learn from here, a positive attitude. And that attitude is making peace, being kind, being gentle. So please, with your body, look after your body, care for it. Ask it what it needs. With your mind, always keep it positive and happy. And then you'll probably live a long life. You don't get depressed that way. Dear Ajahn Brahm, normally we're unconscious of our breath, but once I'm trying to watch my breath, I cannot differentiate whether I'm controlling my breath or I'm actually watching it. How should we do it? It's really amazing. You think just watching your breath, you've been breathing all your life. It's the easiest thing to watch, but as soon as you start watching it, you interfere with it. That is the big problem. So the usual experiment or little demonstration. I now want you to be aware of the saliva in your throat. Can you notice the saliva in your throat? Now it's a problem. Should I swallow? Should I not swallow? Gee, I wish I hadn't mentioned that. Before I mentioned it, the saliva would just go in and out naturally. It would be no problem at all. But as soon as you watch it, you tend to want to control it. That's the weird thing about the human being. Whatever they observe, they want to fix up. So sometimes they come to a retreat centre like this and they say, no, fix this up. You'd be much better to paint the doors a different colour, to put sound things on here, to change this and to change that. It's not your place. But as soon as you come here, you want to control it and make it better. That is the problem. So it's your breath. No, it's actually not your breath. It's just the lungs' breath. It doesn't belong to you. The lungs do the breathing. It's not your business. But can you let the breath just do the breathing? No, we want to do it. Now that is a very important insight to see what happens in this meditation. Sometimes we just need to watch with the ability to let it go and not to worry about it. Even the thoughts which come into your mind, to watch them without getting involved in them. The emotions in our mind, to watch them without getting involved. And if we don't get involved, just like your saliva now, it's okay, no problem anymore, it's calmed down. To be able to watch as if you're not watching. And one of the techniques for that is to use a simile of watching a movie on the TV or on the cinema. You go watch a movie on the TV, and I've seen people on the aircraft doing this. They're getting so involved in the movie. And you can see them laughing. And you can see them crying. When the lovers, they get parted and one of them dies, it's so sad. Or you get shocked when some monster comes up into the movie. Why do you do that? It's only a movie. No one is falling in love. All the blood, they used to say, was tomato ketchup when I was a kid. But these days it has to be something a bit more real. It's all special effects. No one gets blown up. But it looks like that. And because it looks like that, we get involved and we think it's real. And we get right involved in the movie. I even remember when I was a kid watching the movies, sometimes that a burglar or some killer was creeping up behind somebody. And members of the audience would say, hey, look behind you. You remember those times? It's a movie, they can't hear you. But that's why we get involved in the movie. And all you need to do, if you're getting involved in a movie, is just remember you're sitting on a seat in the aircraft. Or you're on a seat, your lounge seat at home. It's only a movie, that's all. So stop getting involved. And that's exactly the same thing you do when you say you're watching your breath. I'm sitting in here, and my breath is over there. It's not mine, it's just a thing happening, it's part of nature. Nothing to do with me, just like a movie. And when you have that space between you and the object, just like you remember the space between you and the TV monitor, you don't get sucked in. Which means you don't get excited, you don't get depressed. You stop trying to control things. You just leave it alone. It's just breath doing its thing. And you know you're not controlling the breath if the breath becomes soft, easy, just like it is now, before you start watching it. If it is a little bit uncomfortable, if it is not natural, it means you've been controlling it. Just like if you want to find out which part of the forest is natural and which part has been planted by the government, you'll find if it's a government plantation, all the trees are in rows and lines. If it's natural, they're all over the place. You can see what's the difference between control and natural. Your breath, when it's natural, it's just nice and peaceful. It doesn't know which way it comes in, which way it doesn't come in. But when it's controlled, you can notice what it's like. It's unnatural. It doesn't feel soft and easy. Which is one of the reasons why, for those of you who haven't heard me teach like this before, you'll hear it in the next couple of days, I never choose to watch my breath. I never sort of say, okay, I'm going to watch my breath now. All I do is to relax the body, then relax the mind, just let go of the past and the future, stop all this thinking, and the next thing I know, you're aware of your breath. I don't go grabbing it. It comes to me. And when you do this naturally, without choosing to watch the breath, if everything else calms down, the only other thing left moving is the breath, that is always a very peaceful and soft breath. I know I'm not controlling, because I haven't started controlling from the beginning. The whole meditation has been letting go of control, just letting go of the body, letting go of the past and the future, letting go of thinking. Because thinking is one of the main tools we use to control. And then let go so much the breath comes, because it's the only thing left moving. And then it's always peaceful and beautiful. So it's a very good question. Hopefully I'll explain the answer there. If it's relaxed, peaceful, soft and smooth, great, you're not controlling. If it is rough, uncomfortable, a problem, you're controlling. And if you're controlling, imagine the breath out here, you're in here. There's a space between you and the object, which gives you an opportunity just to let it be natural. Please advise me how to start on my meditation. I don't know what to do. Brilliant. Sit down, close your eyes and shut up. That's your meditation instruction. Next question. It's much easier when you don't know what you're doing. Because when you don't know what you're doing, it means you don't do anything. When you don't do anything, everything becomes peaceful. It's amazing how many people get the best meditation when they're absolute novices. Not just like me, my first meditation retreat. I didn't know what I was doing. Because I didn't know what I was doing. That was brilliant. I didn't have any expectations. I just sat there and let go and did nothing. And that's when you got incredibly peaceful and still. Later on, I learned how to meditate, and that was the problem. It took me years to unlearn that all again. You understand? Because once you know what to do, then you have the means to control. Once you don't know what you're doing, you can't control anything. Which means you sit there and let go and just watch, and it gets very, very peaceful very, very quickly. So that's brilliant. Whoever asked that question, please don't come to any more talks, because I'm afraid you might learn how to meditate. You can come, but it's just all about letting go and stop controlling. Make peace, be kind, be gentle. Okay, make peace, be kind, be gentle. Make peace, be kind, be gentle. All together now. Make peace, be kind, be gentle. Yeah. This is like a cult. Is it best to count the breaths or to not do anything at all? I choose just to observe without commentary. The best, the Rolls Royce, is to do absolutely nothing, like I just said. However, if you're an accountant or a maths professor, yeah, go and count the breaths, because people like counting things. I said yesterday that in Buddhism we have the Four Noble Truths, we have the five spiritual powers, we have the six sense bases, we have the seven enlightenment factors, we have the eightfold path, we have so many of eights and elevens and twelves and sixes and fives. This is a great religion for a mathematician. Because I studied maths at university, that's why I really like Buddhism. Oh, this is speaking my language. Four this and the five that. But people like counting things. Which is why sometimes you like counting. How many...